In the precious name of Jesus, who is the light of the world, our Savior, we look up to him for salvation. In his name, amen. I would invite you to turn to our text for this evening, a reading from Ephesians chapter 2. I don't know if you looked at Holy Cross this evening in the As We Gather portion, but as I wrote that and looked at that preparing for tonight, I noticed, I thought, of the lessons this evening and how at least two of these lessons are some of the most important and perhaps some of the most familiar of all the Bible passages. The one from John chapter 3, verse 16, the gospel reading, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish, not die, but have everlasting life." And then from the text I've chosen to preach on this evening, from Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing, but it's a gift of God, so that no one can boast. We thank him for the good gift of grace." And that's why we've started the sermon this evening with the image of a gift. I hope you have noticed how many times, perhaps you haven't, how many times the words mercy and grace have come up this evening already. The children, the celebration choir, did a beautiful job. I'm always impressed on how God works these things out. That we didn't talk all that much about it, but the song was chosen emphasizing grace and mercy. And the Bible passages the children shared as a part of that are actually a part of this evening's sermon. You see, many churches teach something differently than we do, and frankly, differently than what the Bible teaches. What the Bible teaches us is that we have all sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. There are many who say, well, you know, God doesn't really look at that stuff until you get older, till you're at certain ages of accountability. That's not what the Bible says, and that's not what our text from Ephesians chapter 2 says. Ephesians chapter 2, if you have your Bibles open, says that we are all in transgressions and sin. That from our very nature, from our very beginning, we are sinful and separated from God. Now, some will say, well, Pastor, you know that little baby, that tiny baby, how innocent he or she is. How could that baby be sinful? And my answer usually is, well, let me ask you something. As that child continues to grow and sees another child with a toy, how many of you older siblings or how many of you parents need to say to that child, son, daughter, if you want that toy that that other child has, here's what you do. Quietly walk up behind them, knock them over the head, grab the toy and run away. Okay, kids, let's practice. I don't think any parent, any older sibling needed to teach that to a younger one because we know it. It's part of our nature. That child, when it's little and it wants what it wants when it wants it and cries in the middle of the night no matter what mom and dad have been up to all day long, is self-centered. And you say, well, Pastor, that child doesn't know any better. And that's my point too. That child doesn't know any better because by nature, that's who we are. And what Paul told the Ephesians, he tells us that by nature, we deserve God's wrath, nothing but punishment because of our sin. What Paul says in our text for tonight is that you all you Ephesians, but all you people also have followed after the ways of the world. What you've followed after is these sinful desires. You've followed after the one who is in the kingdom of the air, who's the power over it. You've followed after the spirits of those who are leading people to be disobedient. And when you have, you've fallen away from God's will and God's desire. One of the passages the celebration choir quoted this evening is from Romans chapter 3. For all have gone astray. No one is good, no, not one. Paul says that in Romans chapter 3, and he actually is quoting David the psalmist. In Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, David says the same thing. They've all gone away. None is righteous, no, not one. None are good. And what Romans chapter 6 tells us is that the wages of sin is death. When we follow the wicked ways of the world, when we follow these spirits who lead to disobedience, when we follow him who is the king of the air of this world, then what we have become is disobedient. One of my favorite passages reminds me of this image. This image of this sheep all by itself, a lamb lost, and the flock nowhere to be seen. Where's home? Where's the shepherd? This sheep doesn't know. And what the passage is from Isaiah 53. All we, not some of we, but all we are like sheep gone astray, everyone to his own way. And God has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquities, the sins of us all. We deserve that death and separation from God because we follow our own cravings. Isn't that what Paul says to the Ephesians in the text for tonight? What he tells us tonight is that you follow the cravings, you satisfy the cravings of your natural sinful self, your sinful nature. You follow its desires and its will. And when you do, you are like these sheep, separated from the rest of the flock and separated from the Savior. Every one of you and me too, by our sinful nature, are separated from the grace of God. What a happy, cheerful way to begin the sermon and Paul's letter to the Ephesians. But in verse 3, we're reminded us that God in his grace continues to love us as his people. Though we were separated from him by our very nature from the very beginning, God was not content. So God, in his love, brings us in Christ Jesus back to himself. The Bible tells us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were separated from God, every one of us and everyone in the world, God loved the world so that he gave his only begotten Son. From the gospel reading this evening and from Ephesians chapter 2, God unites us with Christ Jesus. And how and why does he do that? Only and purely as a gift. Only and purely because he loves us. God created us. God created our first parents. God creates each human being, and God is not content that we be separated from him. He's the seeking Savior who comes to find you and me in Christ Jesus. The words I mentioned, the choir sang several times, and our praise team also, speak of mercy and grace. Now, there's a distinction between those two words. Do you know what mercy is? I've got it for you on the screen. God, who is rich in mercy, Paul tells the Ephesians, is rich in mercy because what mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. And that's what we've talked about in our text. We deserve sin. We deserve death and punishment. We deserve eternal separation from God. But because God loves you, in his mercy, he doesn't give you and me what we deserve. Instead, what he does is he gives us grace. He's rich in mercy, not giving us what we do deserve, and he's rich in grace, and that is giving us what we don't deserve. He doesn't give us what we do deserve, but he does give us what we don't deserve, and that's the free gift of God in Christ Jesus our Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. We don't deserve him. We don't earn him. That's what Paul says in Ephesians. But God gives his love to us in Christ Jesus so that we can be restored and renewed and drawn back to him. God lifts us up in Christ Jesus. It's kind of interesting, our text. Each speak about something or someone being lifted up. I mentioned to the children earlier. This odd lesson, this odd saying from Numbers chapter 21. They were out in the wilderness, the people of Israel were, and they were disobedient, grumbling, nasty children because they were discontent with God, and they grumbled against God and against his servant, the one God had sent to lead and guide them through the wilderness to the promised land. But they weren't patient. God, we hate this nasty food. There's no bread. There's no water. Why have you taken us out of Egypt to kill us in the wilderness? There is a point, there is a time when God has it up to here. And that's what happened in Numbers 21. He took their grumbling only so long and sent these fiery serpents to destroy many of them. And then what we're told is that as they repented of their sin, they recognized their shortcoming, they asked, Moses, talk to God for us. He'll listen to you on our behalf. And Moses did pray, and God told Moses, make this bronze serpent, place it on a pole, and lift it up so that when people look to it, they can be reminded that God saves. It's not the snake, but it's God who gave the command and God who gave the promise. When you look to it repentantly and believe, you will be saved. It would be an odd text, and we'd try to figure out what in the world it means unless Jesus had explained it to us. And he does clearly in John. In John chapter 3, he says, just like Moses raised up that serpent, so the Son of Man, I will be raised up. And what he meant, as I mentioned to the children a moment ago, is that he would be raised on the cross, there crucified for you and for me, for the Ephesians from our text, and all people of all time, so that when we look to him, look up to him, repentantly and believing, we have the gift of forgiveness and the gift of eternal life. And you see, it really is that. It really is a gift of God. What's a gift? Well, the fact that he gives us mercy, that he doesn't give us what we do deserve, that's a gift. The fact that he gives us grace, that he gives us what we don't deserve, that's a gift. And Ephesians chapter 2 tells us this gift is not something that you've done yourself. It's a gift of God so that no one can boast. The gift to be raised up with Christ so that on the last day, when the world is ended, we receive mercy and grace and forgiveness, and he raises us up to live with Christ forevermore. God gives us these wonderful gifts, and God calls you to be gifts also. Isn't that what Ephesians 2 verse 10 says? God has created us to be his workmanship. From before the beginning of creation, God gifted you. And God gives you the gift of salvation. And with that gift, God calls you to be gifts to others around you. Last week, if you were with us, I mentioned three things in the sermon. And what I said last week is that the purpose of the church is not, the main purpose of the church is not to argue about doctrine. The main purpose of the church is not to be about justice. The main purpose of the church is not to be about feeding and caring for those who are in need. It's not the main purpose. The main purpose of the church is to point to Jesus and the cross and the gift of God, which is the gift of eternal life. Listen, but, and as redeemed, as the children of God, who have received his grace and his mercy, have been given the gift of faith and the gift of eternal life, now God does want you to be caring about doctrine and the teaching of God's precious word. When we are created for the purpose of doing good works, we don't have to try to figure that out and imagine what it might be and what might please God. We look into his word, and what his word teaches is how to live in ways that serve and please him, so that we become gifts to others around us. It isn't the main purpose of the church to care about justice, but it is one of the things that we do as the workmanship of God in Christ Jesus. We care about others in their needs. We care about those who are homeless and hungry and need of clothing and so many other things, because God gifts us to be a gift to others. Brothers and sisters, God has raised you up in Christ Jesus. He's given you mercy. He's rich in mercy and in grace. And now, as you live in this mercy and grace and forgiveness of God, be the people of God. Live like the people of God. Be different from the world around you as you give and share and love and follow the Christ, our Savior, the light of the world. May God make it so in us through the power of his Spirit, as his word is at work among us. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the light of the world. Amen.